Hey, back here on Downtown, and time to talk a little Red Sox. And to do that, we get on the phone line and welcome in our friend Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, who made it to Cincinnati through what the Great Arctic Circle route to get there.
Yeah, it took a little while. My first flight got delayed. I ended up going to Toronto, and then to Detroit, and then to Atlanta, and then finally to Cincinnati. But got some work done along the way, so everything worked out fine.
Excellent. Well, glad that you made it there eventually and ready for an interesting series this weekend against the Reds. The Sox team riding a five-game winning streak, five games over 500 for the first time since, I think, early May. Has Alex Cora found something in this club in recent weeks?
Well, he's found speed. That's what he found. That, you know, they've got a team that can run. They've got a team that can create offense without necessarily hitting home runs. And that's been, I think, you know, certainly unusual for the Red Sox. You know, any of us who have followed the Red Sox for a long time know we haven't seen a lot of that. And it's been interesting to see, and it's a fun brand of baseball, and it seems to be working for sure.
Well, yeah, and you got to wonder what it means for some guys going forward. And David Hamilton has certainly opened some eyes with his speed. He's hitting the ball better. His defense has improved. What does that mean for him going forward? What does it mean for Vaughn Grissom?
Yeah, they certainly don't seem to be in any great hurry with Vaughn Grissom. You know, having a second hamstring strain, both legs now have had him. And he hasn't started baseball activities yet. They haven't, you know, there's no timeline for when he might come back. And certainly part of that is they're very satisfied with how David Hamilton has played. And also with and Manuel Valdez, too. Both of those guys have played pretty well. So it's a lot of the things that the Red Sox thought that they were going to have coming into the season haven't proven true because of injuries. But a lot of the guys who maybe looked like secondary level players I've stepped up and given them, you know, what's really been one of the top, you know, maybe five or six offenses in the American League, which is not what we expected.
Not at all. And they do have some guys coming back. What's the timeline for the return of some of their starters?
Well, it's you know, a lot of it is kind of up in the air because of the strangeness of the injuries. Tristan Casas had that rib cartilage strain from swinging a bat. He hasn't actually started swinging a bat yet. He's been mimicking swinging a bat and things like that. So I think the idea that he's going to be back soon is not necessarily true, but it could be around the All-Star break. And then there's some other, you know, like they know like they're not getting Lucas Giolito back. They know they're not getting Trevor Story back, and they moved on from those guys. So it's kind of hard for them to, you know, they're depending on guys who they didn't think were going to be regular players the whole year long. And as time goes on and guys start to get worn down, it'll be interesting to see how that changes. And I think even the team they have now, you know, might not necessarily be the team they have down the road because there'll be other changes they'll make too.
Well, it's interesting. Five games over 500, they're just a game out in the wild card and a chance to maybe pick up some more ground as they play some struggling teams over the course of the next couple of weeks. What happens to the team's outlook at the trade deadline if they're, I don't know, 8-9 games over 500 and right in the thick of the wild card?
Yeah, it's you know, you hear it in talking to people around the league, the Red Sox have not indicated that they're buyers. And I don't know to what degree, you know, at what point will that change? How many games do they have to win? How high up in the standings do they have to go for that to change? And we haven't, you know, Craig Breslow keeps that sort of stuff close to the vest. They certainly have needs. They could use, not another outfielder, but maybe some more infield depth. And certainly starting pitching and relief pitching is something every contender seems to need. But they, you know, in talking to other teams and other GMs and presidents of baseball operations, the Red Sox haven't been active, at least so far, in trying to obtain players.
And what does this all mean for Alex Cora? He's been pretty quiet about his future, but if he likes this bunch of guys and feels like maybe there's support from management, do you think there's any way he returns as manager?
Well, I personally don't because, well, I shouldn't say that. I think he's going to become a free agent. I think at the end of the year when his contract runs out, he'll become a free agent. And if the Red Sox want to retain him, they're going to have to pay what the top-level managers are now getting paid. And Craig Counsell set the market last year when he left the Brewers, had a free agency that included visits with a number of teams, including the Mets, ended up signing with the Cubs for $8 million a year. And that became something every manager said, you know, now that this guy has shown that, you know, managers can make more money, I think a lot of us feel like they want to make more money. And one thing Cora has that Craig Counsell doesn't is a championship ring. So he could offer teams out there that think they're close to a title or have ambitions for a title, that kind of experience. Now, he also has, you know, the suspension in his past. There are some teams out there that would probably not want to hire him because of that. But I think Alex Cora, if you have the kind of players that are all-star caliber players that he's shown he can handle very well, he becomes an attractive candidate. I think if all things were equal, in terms of the payroll, in terms of the salary, he would want to come back to Boston. I think he likes what he's built here. He likes the team that he has. I know his family likes it here. But he's also got, I think in his mind, X amount of years left that he's going to manage before he does other things in baseball, and he wants to maximize, you know, the money that he can make while he's doing that.
We're talking with Pete Abraham here on Downtown. Back up a little bit and look at those series wins over the Phillies and the Yankees. Were those just a fluke, or can this team really play with anybody in the league in a short series?
Yeah, I wrote something that I thought those two series gave this team a lot of confidence. The fact that the Phillies were the top team in the National League when they played them, and they took two out of three. And the Yankees were the top team in the American League when they played them, and they took two out of three. Now, yeah, it was at home. It was at Fenway Park. But nonetheless, to play the Phillies and the Yankees back-to-back and go 4-2, I thought was pretty impressive. And what the Red Sox players and coaches and Alex Cora were saying, they thought it was even more impressive that they went to Toronto the next day. They didn't get a day off. They played Sunday night baseball and then went to Toronto on Monday and then took three in a row from Toronto. Now, Toronto's not a great team. They've been underachievers. But after winning those two big series at home, the Red Sox didn't take their foot off the gas. They went to Toronto and took care of business. So that was, I think, as important as anything else, because with a young team, sometimes you might, you know, be looking out for, well, they just had some success. How will they handle that success? Well, the Sox showed they handled it pretty well.
Yeah, and I feel like this component of speed, you knew there would be more of it with the rules changes. Pitchers are reluctant to throw over. Half the time they don't even check a runner on first base. And I feel like teams are not really adequately built to defend against speed. We saw that with the Yankees, with poor Jose Trevino back there. He didn't have a shot.
Yeah, you can tell that the Sox do a good job with their scouting, and they look at the pitcher, you know, how well he doesn't hold runners, and they look at the arm strength of the catcher, and they clearly said, okay, tonight's the night we can run, and we're gonna do everything we can to try to steal bases. And I mean, really, when it comes down to it, they embarrassed the Yankees that night, stealing that many bases, and Trevino. And, you know, as somebody who's covered the Sox for a while, it's pretty amazing to think that it's June 21st and they lead the American League in stolen bases.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time that's ever happened? And they've got more stolen bases this year than they've had in, I think, three of the last 4 years, like the entire season.
Wow.
They already have more. Now, to be sure, like you said, Rich, you know, this is a product of MLB changing the rules and trying to get more athleticism and speed in the game, which I think has been a good thing. But the Red Sox, you know, it's one thing to have more stolen bases. It's another thing to have the most stolen bases in the league. So, for them to have done what they're doing, it's a different kind of Sox team, and it's an interesting Sox team.
All right, we always have to talk a little music with you, Pete. What did you think of the Stones when you got to see them live?
Well, it was great, and for two reasons. I you know, it was fun seeing them play their hits and everything, and I took my 18-year-old nephew. And it was great to see a kid his age, you know, enjoying a band that was, they probably got together in 1962. So, you know, that was a lot of fun for me to see my nephew enjoying that music. And, yeah, the Stones are great. Mick Jagger, I don't know how he's doing it. He was all over the place the entire night, for a guy, I think he's what, 81 or 80. And, it was a really fun show.
That's awesome. Well, Pete, always good to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. I hope your travel improves as the road trip progresses.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Pete. Bye-bye now.